in toll free. Bring up whatever you want. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site, they're completely free. So enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Show is about your calls if you make them. Otherwise, we'll talk about things interesting to us. And, of course, Dale is joining us tonight from anarchyinyourhead.com. Great comic strip website available on the Internet primarily, but occasionally appears in some print publications like the New Hampshire Free Press and a handful of others. Anarchyinyourhead.com is the website. And, Dale, you wanted to point out that there's a brand new feature on your site.
There is a new section where people can go and get free things, and it's just a few preliminary samples right now, but it will be expanded. It's like wallpapers and avatars they can use on forums and banners and things like that.
Fun stuff. Fun free stuff. Now, that's not to say that the website itself isn't free. It is. You can go and enjoy the anarchyinyourhead.com comic strips and editorials all completely free. I guess the only thing you have to pay for at Anarchy in Your Head is advertising, if you want to buy a banner ad, and T-shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's T-shirts, mouse pads, things like that you can buy with some stuff on them.
So let's talk about you, Dale, for a little bit here, because it's my understanding that where you came from to this pro-liberty position that you're at right now is you used to be a Republican. Is that right?
That was my most recent thing. I went through the whole gamut.
Oh, really? You've been all over the map, huh?
I have.
Where did you start as a kid? What was your path like?
Well, I mean, I was pretty apolitical to start with, and I think once I got really involved with college, that's when I started getting political because I got involved with, like, gay groups at school. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, that was liberal activism for the most part. And really, though, all along, I had a libertarian perspective. So even
you didn't know it.
Yeah. I didn't really label it, but I always had kind of a libertarian perspective. And really, as soon as a certain point of view of mine was pointed out as being sort of inconsistent with a liberty viewpoint, I would immediately change my view, usually. And I can remember, like, discrimination, someone having a talk with me who was actually he was actually a liberal himself, describing the libertarian point of view to me in a kind of devil's advocate way, expecting me to immediately reject it. And the moment he did, I was like, oh, actually, that makes sense to me. And so I was,
did a good job there.
Yeah. So it changed my perspective on, like, discrimination laws. And that was just, you know, one step. You know, as soon as I went down that path, I think I've always become more of a libertarian along the way. But really always at heart a libertarian, and, you know, and sort of the principle of libertarianism has always been, it made sense to me.
I would like to say the same thing about myself. I didn't go through all of the above. However, when I was growing up, my parents were Republicans, and, you know, my dad introduced me to those ideas. And for whatever reason, I ended up reading Harry Brown's Why Government Doesn't Work. And, of course, that clicked with me. At that time in my life, I was probably 18, so I didn't really have too much else in my head going on.
Well, you know, the younger the better when it comes to libertarian ideas, because you don't have to get through all that other, you know, stuff that you've developed throughout
life. Right, you don't have
life.
To break down all of the barriers.
But the Republicans basically have, you know, always said the things that the libertarians say.
Sort of.
Except. And, you know, so, I mean, you know.
Sometimes.
Prepared in that way.
They use a lot of the rhetoric without actually backing it up with their actions.
Right.
And I would say there's a big difference between Republican politicians and a lot of people out there, Republican voters and regular people out there who really are libertarian at heart and would love to see the Republican Party maybe go in that direction. But I don't think, you know, it's silly to expect it.
Well, one of the things you'll hear a lot from whether it's Republicans or liberty-minded people or even in some cases Democrats, I mean, it all depends on who you talk to, but one of the things you'll hear a lot is talk about, we need to get back to the Constitution. And, of course, somebody like a Ron Paul, for instance, would be front and center making statements like that. And when I was in the beginning days of my liberty mindset, when I was first getting into the Libertarian Party, I found that a fairly persuasive idea. I liked that concept. I liked the idea of getting back to the Constitution. However, as I've come along in my understanding of what it means to be free and what liberty is all about, I now understand that the Constitution is not an ideal to be striving for. In fact, the Constitution while it certainly would be better than where we are today, with the exception of the whole slavery thing, as far as if you, you know, slash the government down to a constitutional level, there's no doubt, I can't argue that that would be an improvement upon what we have. However, to just say that the Constitution is the holy grail of liberty is, well, it's inaccurate.
It is, yes.
And you've got a story about that tonight.
Yeah, there's an article by Jim Davies. It's not a really new article. It was written in late 2007 on Strike the Root. So if you go to Strike the Root, you can...
That's strike-the-root.com.
That's right. And you can look, you can search on it, constitutional rule. And he talks about just how tyrannical the government could still be, even abiding strictly by the Constitution. And
it's
a really good article.
Right. Yeah. They don't bother abiding by the Constitution. It doesn't seem like there's any way to force them to abide. But what he does is he takes a look at the actual wording of the Constitution and then compares that to what liberty would be, right?
Right.
What freedom really is.
Right. This notion of a constitutional government as being a really small government is not really accurate. It's not really a reasonable expectation. And, first he starts off by pointing out that, like you said, they don't follow it anyway. So the Constitution, the notion of the Constitution protecting us from the government infringing on our rights is already something of a fairy tale. So
right. Well,
he points that out first before he goes on to say what they could do even under the Constitution.
I think somebody called in earlier this week to cite the not-so-famous Lysander Spooner quote that points out that either the Constitution has authorized all of the tyranny that we're experiencing or it has been powerless to prevent it. It's one or the other.
Right.
And of course, can you imagine what Spooner would say about the government today? I mean, he was alive in the late 1800s.
Yeah, the relying on the Constitution in that sense is a lose-lose situation. He actually references Spooner, too, to point out why the we shouldn't expect the Constitution to have any authority anyway. It's based on the notion of we the people, which is already, right off the bat, that's a lie.
Right. So, well, it was we the people who signed the Constitution, the, you know, couple dozen guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're dead right now, and how anybody could look at that piece of paper and say, well, that those men's signatures from 200 plus years ago binds me today. I mean, it's just when you start to really dig into it, and you don't have to dig too far, it just becomes more and more absurd.
Right. It's important to point out that it's not that, again, we don't like the idea of a government abiding by the Constitution, like I said, would certainly be better than it is now. But I think that if we are relying on a fairy tale for our liberty, then we shouldn't be surprised when we don't get it.
I want to get
when
to
that doesn't work.
I want to dig into it a little bit here, but I want to go to the phone calls first. The show is about your calls, 800-259-9231. So we're not going to read the entire Constitution, obviously. We're going to select a few portions and then take a look at how that doesn't even come close to jibing with what freedom is really all about. So we'll get to that, but first let's go to your phone calls. Jake is over in the UK. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Jake.
Hey, how you doing?
What's on your mind tonight, Jake?
Basically, I've been living in England for the last 10 years. I got kicked out of America. I lived in Florida, and it got to a total police state by the time I was a young adult. And, it's happening everywhere over there. It's scary. It really is scary what's going on.
So does England, with its closed-circuit television cameras all over the place, not ring that way to you?
Oh, it's hell. It's hell over here.
So do you see anything changing in the near future, or are you just, you know, going to kind of hunker down and try to stay below the radar for the rest of your life?
I really want to come home back to America. I mean, I got deported for 10 years. My son's living there now. He's 18 years old. And, my sister lives there. My mom and dad live in Texas. And, I really want to come home and see my family again, but I don't want to come home to hell. I think the people need to stand up and overthrow government and put
well,
something
how would you suggest
on
that?
It.
I mean, I see you're overthrowing the government is quite a task. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to bring you back, and we'll talk about that. And I don't know, really, do you really want to trade the U.S.? If you think the U.S. is hell and the U.K. is hell, I guess maybe the U.S. is a little bit less hellish than the U.K., but it's almost a toss-up. 800-259-9231, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Of course, our friend Gardner Goldsmith is currently over in the U.K. right now for the Red Dwarf Season 9 premiere tonight. Maybe we'll hear from him. Who knows? 800-259-9231. You can bring up whatever you want. More with Jake and your calls as well. It's Free Talk Live.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with a very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 600 to get a free trial and a free webcam too. Remember that code, 600, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 600. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them, and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
Companies continue to lay off thousands of people. Unemployment is the highest it's been in over 30 years. Statistics prove that in a recession, crime rates go up. Everyone needs something for that extra edge to prevent becoming a victim in these difficult and trying times. You need to prepare yourself with DPS Pepper Spray, available at MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray in the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Scorpion Stun Gun is a great way to take down a potential attacker. Mr. Defense also carries the largest selection of air tasers, knives, self-defense keychains, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off of your order and a free self-defense keychain. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com. Or call 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 for all of your self-defense needs today.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231, and get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You dial in, bring up whatever you want. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. The features are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Features, by the way, including the Shrine of Female Listeners, dozens of ladies that have sent us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what that's all about. Free, that's shrine.freetalklive.com. Now, according to the Computer Privacy Handbook, normal internet technology is the most comprehensive surveillance system ever invented. Put a stop to email snooping with an easy-to-use email alternative, PrivacyHarbor.com, because normal email is not secure. That's PrivacyHarbor.com as we continue here with your phone calls. Going back to Jake in the UK. Jake, you are talking about how you were, I guess you said, kicked out of the United States a decade ago. You're pretty frustrated with the state of things in this world, at least in the Western world that you've experienced. You say it's hell over in the UK. It was hell in the US, police state when you left. And I'm telling you, as you probably know, it's the police state's even worse now than it was 10 years ago. I'm curious, before we get into what you were talking about, overthrowing the government, I don't know about all that, but before we get into that, why were you ejected from the United States in the first place?
I grew up, I had a troubled childhood. My parents were divorced, and my mother married a serviceman, and that's how I came to the United States. When I got over there, I was about 9 or 10 years old, and I rebelled a bit, and, I kept getting into trouble. I had a child, basically my son was born when I was like 19. Mm-hmm. I was still a child myself, his mother was a child.
Yeah.
And basically he was just a meal ticket, because in Florida women have more rights than anybody. That basically fell apart, and I kept getting put in jail for child support 6 months at a time. No game time, you can work, but it doesn't get any time knocked off. And I got worse and worse in there. I got very depressed and suicidal, and, and started, taking, street drugs at one point. And, I never got really arrested for any drug charges. It was mainly just shoplifting and, passing worthless checks. And, they also added a burglary charge, which wasn't mine. Someone else had the same name as me, obviously. They just put his record on mine to make mine even more. I've got proof. I've got the paperwork.
Normally, they're content to just let people rot in the prison system. Why did they choose to eject you from the country?
Because they passed a law, right, in Florida at that time, that said if anybody got 18 months or more in prison that wasn't from the United States, was automatically up for deportation.
I see. You were not a U.S. citizen at that point? Is that the idea?
I had a visa, I thought it was a lifetime visa, but from what I gathered, I had to renew it when I was 18. But, I mean, I grew up in Florida. I went to school in New Mexico at first when we first got there. Spent 3 years there. Then we moved to Panama City, Florida. Man, I pledge allegiance to the flag every day. I consider myself a U.S. citizen, I don't consider myself British. I mean, I left that life behind. I think it's unfair.
And you're in the U.K. in America, and you want to come back to the United States even after they, they gave you a bit of a rude treatment. They certainly made it seem like they didn't want you here anymore, but you want to come back. Why do you want to come back? Why America versus the UK?
Because, one, it's my home. I grew up there. Mm-hmm. Because America's founded on we the people, man. That's what America's about, freedom. That's what America's about. You're oppressed here by the government. The British government is very oppressed.
We're oppressed here by the government in America. I mean, you said that it was a police state before you left. So what was your proposal? I mean, you said you wanted to overthrow the government. I'd just like to hear what you have in mind.
The Constitution, it says in the Constitution, if a government like starts turning on its own people, that you're allowed to go in there and place a new government in there.
How would you go about that?
That will work.
You
have to go through the diplomatic processes, I guess.
Okay, so when you say overthrow, you don't mean anything violent. You mean to just go
election? No, you go in there through the paperwork. You beat them at their own game. You use the pen. The pen is mightier than the sword. That's what you do. You beat them at their own game.
That's talking about speech and not politics, though. The pen being mightier than the sword.
Behind you, and once the people see that these people are getting screwed over by their own government, they're going to stand up and say, look, whoa, hey, the Constitution says get out,
No, I hope you're right, and I thank you for the call tonight, 800-259-9231. I hope people wake up and they realize what's being done to them. I don't think that, and thank you, sir, for the call tonight. I don't think that, and by the way, I'm glad that he's not advocating some sort of violent solution, because I think we can all agree that that's not going to result in any more freedom for anybody. But at the same time, I don't know if going and running candidates is, you know, going to be the best way to
change
things.
Well, I haven't seen it work yet.
Well, we've got people in legislature.
Right, but
how's that civil disobedience stuff going?
Well, it's I've seen a lot of people walk away without tickets. I've seen a lot of I've seen people having the courage to stand up to police, and I see real progress there. I don't expect a lot from either side this early on. I have reasonable expectations, but I don't think you can call it a success to get people into office until they actually get us more liberty.
Well, I don't think you're right about
that. I understand that.
I don't think you can call it a success for one person to walk away from a ticket unless everybody doesn't get the tickets. Those people have not gotten the tickets, and don't forget that every one of them, that walks away, it seems more likely that they're going to crack down on Free Staters more. I mean, it might have been one thing if that's all you did inside the court system, but standing out in Central Square with a blowhorn or whatever they did throw you in jail 93 days for having a couch on your lawn, too, right?
Understand, I'm just saying that the goal is more liberty. And if I'm saying I don't think politics will get that, I'm just saying that.
That
we
you have no more evidence
someone in
for civil disobedience
not,
than you do for politics, okay?
That's fine. Well, I that's fine. I'm just saying that we have to be clear on what our goals are. And if our goal is to get more liberty, and if I'm saying politics isn't going to get us there, having elected someone to that position is nothing more than that's like a ribbon.
Yeah.
You know, it is. It's until I see them actually get us more liberty, then that's not proof of that.
And
politics
if they can,
is working.
Great. If they can, then super.
Oh, I'd love it. Yeah,
more power to them.
Whatever works.
Yeah, I agree. At this point, things haven't happened. However, you know, I mean, at some point, I expect that to work.
And I don't.
Well,
think
I'm just pointing out. I'm playing devil's advocate to you're saying that it's working in New Hampshire.
Well,
because it hasn't yet.
Well,
disobedience has.
Right.
I'm saying
that's
politics hasn't.
That's all I got to say.
Okay, in regards to the civil disobedience or the non-cooperatives who have gotten away with, for instance, not having to pay for car registration violation or U-turn ticket or speeding ticket, which is what we've seen just over the last couple of years, is people have basically gone into court and said, well, I'm not going to cooperate. I'm not going to be your piggy bank. I'm not going to give you my hard-earned money to support your system. You can do whatever you want to me. That has had some, I think it's had some positive effects in that those folks have gotten away with it. No, they haven't stopped enforcing the speeding laws as a result of it, but I don't think anybody believed that they would stop enforcing the speeding laws as a result of it.
You
can bring up whatever you want.
Then.
This is Free Talk Live.
Are you embarrassed by your legs? Are your legs sore and irritated? Millions of women suffer from leg pain due to varicose veins. When varicose veins prevent you from living and enjoying your everyday life, you need Venulux. Venulux is a dietary tool formulated to restore naturally beautiful legs from the inside out. As part of your healthy lifestyle, Venulux promotes antioxidant action throughout your body to calm varicose veins and support fit legs for life. Venulux has helped women all over the world relieve varicose vein pain and restore the confidence to bear their legs. Now it's your chance to benefit with Venulux free when you call 1-888-4-FIT-LEG today. That's 1-888-4 Fitleg, or visit us on the web at 4fitleg.com. And remember, when you call 1-888-4-FITLEG, ask how to get your Venulux free. That's 1-888-4-FITLEG, or visit us on the web at 4fitleg.com.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Times are tough right now, and people are unsure about our future. The economy is hurting, even though there are powers that would make us believe differently. Banks are failing, and the gold buyers are buying. Question, with all the chemicals being put into our air, how do you use gold when you are very sick or dead? Investing in precious metals is smart. Investing in your health could be smarter. Life Change Tea changes your life just by drinking our tea. Detox from deadly chemicals, flush poisons that cause harm to your organs, and lose unwanted pounds that bog you down. Call us, 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Life Change Tea. We're changing lives.
Have you ever read the ingredients in your skin creams, personal hygiene products, vitamins, or herbal supplements? Did you know that most skin creams, body lotions, shampoos, and toothpastes contain chemical additives such as sodium lauryl sulfate, the same type of detergent used in dish soap? Did you know that many multivitamin supplements are made from synthetic vitamins? Do your herbal remedies have unwanted additives and fillers? Have you ever tested your body's pH level? Make the change to organic health and beauty products. Visit 2BNatural.com and order today. 2BNatural.com carries exclusive, all-natural, chemical-free skincare, hair care, whole food vitamins, herbal remedies, and alkaline body balance supplements. Visit 2BNatural.com. That's TOBENatural.com. 2BNatural.com. Use coupon code RADIO for 15% discount and free alkaline food chart. Call 1-888-417-1375. That's 1-888-417-1375 to order or request your free catalog.
You're listening to GCN. The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Free Talk Live. You dial in, bring up whatever you want. Toll free number 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features, they are totally free. So enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Those features, by the way, include updates. You get signed up, we'll let you know whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. You know it first if you're on the updates list. Go to updates. freetalklive.com. Are you frustrated with the lack of freedom where you live? Like our last caller, he's pretty upset about that. Are you tired of the oppressive state intruding into the your business and personal life? If you knew that thousands of liberty-loving people were all moving to the same place and getting active, would you join them? You can. Join the Free State Project at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. We could continue and rehash the political versus apolitical discussion that we were having, and I think that both sides are correct at this point. There's been very slow progress on both ends. The politicos have won a couple of elections, and the apoliticals, you know, the market-based activists and non-cooperatives have been successful at some of their non-cooperation. The point I might make in correction of what you said earlier, Mark, is that I wasn't thrown in jail for 93 days over the couch. It was 3 days for the couch, 90 days for contempt of court. So just point of clarification there.
No, it's the civil disobedience aspect of it that got you the 93 days, right?
It was 90 days for contempt of court because I was not going along with their little court situation. So is that considered civil disobedience? I guess. Maybe it's more non-cooperation. The line between those two is kind of blurry for me.
Non-cooperating, disobeying, disobedience. Yeah. Kind of the same thing.
Kind of the same, but I feel like there's I feel like civil disobedience is more of a planned activity than non-cooperation is. I feel like non-cooperation is something you do when they bring a fight to you.
I could see that.
It's just my feeling. Maybe you can clarify. 800-259-9231. Let's talk to Patrick in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, guys. I had a quick question.
Yes, sir.
Do you think the homesteading principle would be a good way to decide who is allowed to build on what's currently considered public property?
I think that, yeah, public property is basically unowned. I mean, it's not owned by anybody because it's owned by everybody, right? I mean, that's what they say.
It's an oxymoron.
It's all of
right.
our property. So basically it's unowned property that is essentially being guarded over by a band of men and women that are willing to hurt people that call themselves the government. They don't legitimately own that land. They're just kind of caretaking it and guarding over it because they've got guns and they're not afraid to use them to hurt you if you try to do something to the land that they disagree with. But it's not legitimate ownership in that they didn't legitimately homestead it because it was purchased with stolen funds, or the money to purchase it and upkeep it was stolen. So I think that homesteading government property is I think it's completely legitimate. Dale, Mark,
I think it is. I don't know if it'll be effective because they're not going to let you do it, but I think it's moral.
Well, perhaps moral. I don't know how that's. I don't know. I mean, is it silly? I think at this point, as far as homesteading, but I assume you're talking about somehow the government poof goes away, and then people have the opportunity to homestead. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying. Let's say like the government sort of goes away or whatever. Let's just say I build a house in what's currently considered to be a public park. Would you condone the use of force to prevent me from building that house or not?
What is currently considered? So, are you in
like Central Park here in Keene, for example?
Central Square.
So yeah, Central Square.
Currently, like today, tomorrow you start building.
Yeah.
Yeah, your house is going to be ugly there, dude.
What'd you say?
Your house is going
to
be ugly.
You didn't
there.
Answer his question. Do you condone the use of force to stop him from building?
But it's at this point that property is owned by the people of Keene, so therefore, in the poof going away-ness of it, that that money, that you know, that property should be sold, and then the money should be returned as best possible to the people of Keene. So yes, I do condone force to prevent you from doing so.
That's a really interesting idea, solution, that solves the problem.
The taxpayers. No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. I think it's kind of like the idea that the police work for us. We say, oh, they work for us. No, they don't. That's kind of what we're made to believe. Try and fire them. Show up at the police department and fire them. Yes, they're stealing money from me and using it to pay the police. That doesn't mean the police work for me. Yes, they stole right. money and used it to make the Louisiana Purchase. Or borrowed money, or you know, and
yeah, but that's and the way
that
Louisiana
doesn't make
purchase
this,
doesn't
they
exactly
don't own
work.
It, you know.
I mean, you know, essentially that was just bribe money to Napoleon in order to not get in a war for the incipient American colonies. I mean, there were still plenty of Indians on
bribe
that land,
and they
slaughtered them all.
It's all bribe money. When you buy something from the government, you're paying that they don't legitimately own it. You're paying them not to attack you for living there.
So
when you pay your property taxes, that's bribe money. That's you know, you're paying a what do they call it? When the mafia protection fee, you're paying a protection fee so that they do not attack you for living in your home that they pretend to own.
But Mark, you're saying you think that they should hurt Patrick because he wants to go build a little shack in Central Square in the park?
What Patrick needs to do is get it so that to make it happen so that the government decides to relinquish Central Square, likely Central Square, very valuable property that should be that would want to be.
But you advocate hurting him.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
There's your answer, Patrick.
Patrick, I hope somebody breaks your leg if you try to build a house in the middle of Central Square.
Okay. Well, thanks for that information, guys.
Thank you.
Was that all you had?
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call. 800-259-9231. Why would you do something like that, Mark? What's wrong with you?
It doesn't belong to him.
Well,
doesn't
wait,
belong
I thought you said
to the
it
city of Keene either,
no,
really.
It belongs to the taxpayers of the city of Keene, and so therefore...
And he pays rent, so therefore he owns a piece of that park, so he should be able to go and build a house on it, right?
Look, man, a house
first come
on
first
Central
serve.
Square? No.
There's
come
no
first
such
serve.
Thing as public property. It's an oxymoron. Property... The definition of property is the ability to exclude others.
Can you let him finish his statement, please?
He made a statement.
No, he didn't.
Public property.
The definition of property is the ability to exclude others from the use of something. That's what property means. Public property is a complete oxymoron.
You can go out and play frisbee or, you know, play an instrument or read in that little park there, that park needs to be sold to somebody for some purpose. That's what needs to be done.
Why would they?
Everyone can use it. That implies that it is unowned.
Hold on, Mark. How can you sell a park that is not legitimately owned by anyone?
It's owned by the city.
There is no such thing as the city. There are a group of men and women. There are a group of men and women who call themselves the city, but they don't have legitimate ownership over that piece of land.
Why not?
Well, they're elected officials.
Uh-huh.
Are you saying the
city
council?
To an organization that people willingly and unwillingly paid their taxes, and even the unwilling ones understood that those taxes were going to go to maintain a certain amount of public property. And I would think that the vast majority of them, like 99.99% of them, would say, we don't want somebody building a house mm-hmm. there. All of those people throughout the 300 or 400 years that Keene has been around would say the same thing. So yes, by popular consensus of the people that have paid into that fund, willingly or unwillingly, yes, I support the use of force to keep him off that land in the same way that I keep him support the use of force to keep him from building on your land. Because that 99.9% to me is close enough to 100%, which would be what your choice would be.
So you support democracy.
That legitimizes all of the.
So do you?
No, I don't.
That legitimizes mobocracy.
Okay, hold on, just a second. Right, just 1 second. Now, you have said in the past that you think that that you would support, some kind of action against somebody who shot a little girl for picking flowers on his property, right? Like blew her head off. Is that correct? It's
sure.
His property, or it isn't, right?
Well,
he can do whatever he wants, right?
Yeah, but he's okay. Hold on a second. You're saying that the little girl comes on this man's property and he just blasts her. Doesn't
she's
even give her
flowers, man.
Doesn't
she's
even give her a warning.
Vandalizing.
Doesn't even warn her or anything like that.
What difference does it make?
Okay.
No, he doesn't.
So,
it's his property or it isn't.
Yeah, I think that the members of the community would be legitimized by taking action against him.
Okay. Well,
yeah. But that would be a point of contention that would have to be resolved in order to avoid further violent conflict. That's the whole point of arbitration and things like that. Having a collectivist authority to resolve these things makes it very arbitrary and is completely illegitimate.
Oh, I'm not saying the court system couldn't get better, no doubt. But I'm only saying that you're just as much of a Democrat as I am.
No, that's not the case at all.
No, your situation is completely different.
800-259-9231. We're talking about the idea of public property, and we'll get back into it here in a moment. It's 800-259-9231, Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of feeling like you can't keep up with, let alone fight, the never-ending increases in government power? How do we, in one step, eliminate all these abuses and prevent them from returning again? The answer is simple. We must control the money. If it weren't for the Federal Reserve System and the so-called income tax, our government could have never become what it is today. Elite financier Rothschild arrogantly admitted, "Permit me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws." That statement says it all. If others control the money, we cannot limit government growth or power. Under our current monetary system, we are slaves to the financial elite. Take the time to learn how this corrupt system works. Purchase a copy of Dishonest Money today. Learn the system, fight it, and abolish the one scam that funds all the rest. Dishonest Money. Available at Amazon or DishonestMoney.com.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A 2-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit AcolaBlue.com. AcolaBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site, they are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. And if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can do that by becoming an amplifier for as little as $3 a month. We take that money in, reinvest it into the show, getting out more radio stations around the country, bringing more internet listeners on board, and helping expose new people to the ideas of freedom, or at least that's what Dale and I are talking about tonight. Mark is representing the fascist position, as he tends to do from time to time. Now, Mark, you had suggested, we're going to get back to the phone calls in a moment here, but just to continue the conversation from the last segment, you had suggested that I was in favor of democracy, and I disagreed, and you pulled out an example.
Well, you suggested the same to me.
You were saying that, you said that our caller earlier...
I don't
think
that the people that have paid into a system, stockholders, as it were, that those people making a vote is essentially... You know, it's not exactly the same thing as... Taxpayers. Essentially yeah. Stockholders.
Well, where's my stock? Well, how do I cash it in?
I understand. Well, okay. It's a great question. However, you can't cash your stock in. It's a municipal corporation, but you can vote.
All right, let's try and apply some rational thought to this. I understand, like, right now, if you look at the square, it is made into a park. There's a statue. There's a gazebo.
Right.
There's
this
a
could
cannon,
be anywhere.
Sidewalks.
Park.
But for it to maintain that kind of, if you want to exclude people from the use of something, i.e., keep someone from coming over and building on it or using it for some other purpose than what it's intended to be used for, somebody needs to own that. That needs to be an explicit arrangement of some sort. Maybe it would be. Maybe it does need to be a stockholder thing. Maybe the city of Keene itself can be an organization that people can own shares in and then have some say in what the parks are used for and who's allowed to use them or not, whether they have to be charged an admission fee or if it's going to be free for everyone. And if you want to do that, and I think if the city of Keene were trying to, this is a very hypothetical situation. I don't want anyone to get the idea. I think this is going to happen in the near future. But let's say the city of Keene wanted to make good on all the people who had paid all these taxes, or rather had all these funds extracted from them under threat of violence if they didn't, if they were trying to make good and actually keep that park as it is and have it be a public park that's accessible to everyone, what I would see them doing is maybe selling it to some organization. It could be a charitable organization. Maybe it could be something that people could own. Someone owns it and controls it in some manner by shares or whatever. then they could, I could see them selling it and then taking those funds and distributing them back out on some proportional basis to, say, people who paid property taxes for the last several years or
and
something
like
that.
And once it was sold.
In proportion or something.
If it was sold, then it would be, you know, owned by somebody who could then legitimately say, okay, no more building houses on my,
exactly.
on my property.
That's what property means. It means the ability to exclude someone else from the use of something.
But I
you could say, or to dictate how someone used something. So if I want to say, if I were the owner of that property, or if I were maybe a large shareholder in that in the organization that owned that property and wanted to make sure it was kept in use as a public park, and I wanted anyone to be able to come in and use it as long as they respected the property, then that's how you would do it.
Well,
if you
now,
want
a corporation is different than a municipal corporation in some ways of the setup, right? Now, you wouldn't have a problem if every property owner in the city of Keene owned a portion of a corporation and then decided that if Patrick decided to build on that the corporation owned the property, and then if Patrick decided to build on the property of that corporation, that one little circular piece of land there in the park in center of town, that they would send thugs over there to forcibly remove him from that property. You wouldn't have a problem with that, right?
If it were legitimately owned. I wouldn't have a problem with someone
right,
kicking
so
someone off of their property.
What you have there is a contention over what is a municipal corporation and what is its legitimate role. I agree that it should not be extracting huge sums of money from people on an annual basis, and it has grown way too far beyond its bounds. However, I do think that they have some legitimate role, and you know, I think that people, to a large extent, 99% of them would agree that that's a really great role that it currently has, like a little showpiece in the center of town.
So what you're saying is, Mark, then, that you think that somebody should be stopped from building a shack on a piece of public land, but earlier this week you seemed to be in favor of the idea of one of the activists in the area going and tilling that same land and planting some seeds.
If one can make a point with one's activism, and I'm still on the fence as to how I feel about the tilling of the land, right? Like, I'm
me too, actually.
interested and amused, right? But I'm not saying that I'm for it. I'm just saying, if you can make a point on that public land, that's one of the purposes of public land is to, you know, be able to get out there and speak or, you know, make your opinion known. If you're making the point that, you know, hey, you want a co-op garden? Let's have a co-op garden. Come on. That makes a little more sense. Starting to build a shack and living there?
But what if 99% of the people don't want the garden there, Mark?
Do you think that garden's going to stay in?
I doubt it, but I'm just saying, you said that if 99% of the people said that they did not want a shack on that same land, then they'd be legitimate in using force to stop him from building on what is allegedly public land.
Civil disobedience is the expectation that you're going to have force used against you, right?
Not necessarily, but I mean, I think it does accept that possibility. Because you are disobeying, and there are, at least in theory, repercussions when you disobey people who claim to have authority over you. So,
1-800-259-9231. Anyway, what I'd wanted to say originally was that you'd given an example of, you said, well, Ian, you support democracy. And I said, no. You gave an example of some old man who blasts a little girl for picking flowers on his property, because I suggest that the neighbors, I think, legitimately would have something to say about somebody violent like that living in their neighborhood. I don't think that's a democratic situation in any way, shape, or form.
It's a public consensus. If only one person felt that way, then they would be in the minority.
Well, the only reason that public consensus matters is because if you're trying to get back, you're trying to get back in the good graces of people so that they will want to do business with you again and so you won't be ostracized. It's not that the idea that the guy blows some little girl's head off, he's done something that is generally considered an excessive use of violence for that. For the situation, an uncalled for use of violence, and he is now, and he's got people that have issues with him now. Maybe to the point of trying to get some sort of use violence back against him. You know, use some sort get some sort of resolution there. And the idea is to go to some sort of arbitration in order to resolve the situation in order to avoid violence, so that someone doesn't come.
He shot a little girl for picking flowers.
Well, that's the property. Well, no, that's exactly it. I mean, that's going to take.
Would they be legitimate in building a fence around his property so that no little girls go wandering in?
You know, I think it comes down to, if they decide to do that, who is going to come and like defend that man or break the fence down.
Probably not. It's basically a democratic. It's a public consensus, which is something remarkably similar to democracy.
It is a notion of common law.
And,
yes.
Now, if they put the fence up, how high can they put the fence up, Ian?
I guess it depends on who owns the property.
But which property?
That they're putting the fence on.
Well, they're, you know, so there's some, somebody owns the roads. I mean, obviously, there's just been a little girl killed. You can get the road owner probably to get on board. The guy next door might have been his little girl who wandered in, you know, the guy behind him.
The point is, violence begets violence. When you shoot the little girl's head off, you're running into the possibility of someone coming and getting revenge on you or something like that. It's going to take some serious sort of restitution. It might even take him going to jail saying, you know, all right, I will go to, you know, people don't feel that they're safe around me. He might agree to go to jail so that he doesn't end up getting killed.
He's not going to do that. He just shot a little girl for picking flowers on his lawn.
He's probably going to get killed,
Ian,
then.
Could it be a wall?
Sure, man.
If you built it 30 feet tall, could you put a roof on it?
As long as he hasn't homesteaded the air over top.
Could you suck all the air out of it? Like pump it full of nitrogen or something? Methane gas?
That might be a property rights violation. I'm not sure.
Well, if you could put a roof on it, nothing can grow.
None of this stuff you're talking about, the absurdities you're talking about, have anything to do with democracy at all. What you're talking about is a violation of somebody's right to life and how the marketplace could possibly deal with that. And you're, of course, coming up with, as usual, all kinds of absurdities to throw out there. But none of this has anything to do with democracy.
Nothing is more absurd than the real world, man.
I think the point is it's always going. I don't know how the free market would resolve it, but the point is that the state solution doesn't resolve it.
How is the free market going to resolve
in a non-arbitrary fashion?
How is the free market going to resolve a piece of land owned by a large group of people in the center of town if somebody decides to put a shack on it? They're going to send people. Armed men.
But that's just it, Mark.
Kick him off.
Nobody owns that piece of land today. In your little fantasy, you're saying somebody owns it. Today, nobody owns it. It is unowned property that is occupied by men with guns. Okay? That's the difference between what you're talking
about. It's really not occupied. It's guarded in some way.
The men with guns will come to that piece of property.
I see where you're coming from. There's some legitimacy to that. However, public property in the sense of a park or something like that, you just can't go in and homestead that. No.
You should be able to. It's not anybody's property because it's yours.
It is not yours.
That's what they say. They say it's yours, but they also say it's nobody's. And if it's nobody's, then you should be able to homestead it.
There's cognitive dissonance that they ought to be feeling about this notion of public property, and that's the entire point of it.
Anyway, hour two's coming up. We've been making our callers wait. We're going to get to you. If you're on the line, we'll talk to you about whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Government officials like to think they know better than the rest of us. They tell us what we can buy and when we can buy it. Everything from guns and booze to cold medicine and cigarettes. Now they've gone even farther. Cities across the country are now trying to tax and ban bottled water. That's right. Simple, no alcohol, no caffeine, no calorie bottled water. They say it's wasteful and buying it is, quote, stupid. But who are they to decide? If politicians decide you shouldn't even be able to buy bottled water, what's next? Visit us at enjoybottledwater.org and sign the petition to keep the nanny state out of our water bottles.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.